Do you like talking now?
Fletcher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You could just hear people whispering,
Drew, Drew, Drew,
Drew, Drew, Drew, Drew.
I wouldn't be surprised that he's as good today as he was back then.
Oh, my nuts.
Oh, Joe, nuts.
Come on, man.
All on you in my favorite Timberlands. My girlfriend.
It is the 50th anniversary of Rucker Park.
This tournament
is the center of the streetball universe. What makes you think you have a chance?
Someone like you can combine the old school with the new school at the Rucker.
I'll do it on one condition.
Anything you want,
it's got to be my team, my roster.
Okay, anything but that.
Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich. What? The GK finds the sugar dimes, can't quit. What? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit. What?
Introducing 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
Real quick before we get started, one more time, I want to thank our listeners. It's not official till the beginning of next week. I think Tuesday is when it comes out. But we've seen up to this point the ratings for January of this past of this year, and it might be the best ratings we ever had. I think the best we ever had was like when the Bruins did really well. Like that was huge. But this is right there. So this might be the best you've ever had. It looks like we're going to be by far number one in all demos. So I want to thank all of our listeners for once again continuing to listen to us. We truly, truly appreciate it. And thanks for coming out to Cuts for a Cause last night as well. Pucks and Paddles, even I'm doing it. Pucks and Paddles, the new substitute for Cuts for Cause, the new and improved one, I should say. And $110,000 raised to the Tufts Medical Center, the floating hospital for children. And good to see a lot of our listeners out there. It was a great night, and hopefully we continue with the Pucks and Paddles theme. I enjoyed it very much.
All right, so what you heard before that was some inexplicable piece of audio. Kyrie Irving, yes, Kyrie Irving, the world-famous Kyrie Irving. Apparently this is a real movie that is actually going to be released in theaters.
It is. It's going to be released the end of June, which the timing makes it perfect so they can advertise throughout the playoffs. And Uncle Drew, it's a movie that Kyrie Irving, I guess this has been a short that's on the internet.
Right, which has captured everyone's attention, considering we live in Boston,
right.
And I've never heard of this. But
there was a commercial they did, and I do remember him. And
okay, I don't remember it, and I'm forced to watch all this stuff. And if I don't remember it, that means no one else remembers
it. Well, what I remember, as far as the internet's concerned, there was a video that came out of Nate Robinson doing this, dressing up like an old man. And that was legitimately a funny video because he was going to parks. And I think he truly fooled people into thinking that he was an old guy.
Well, good. Dude, carry that for 90 minutes.
But, well, that's the thing.
And I'll tell you this, is that Nate Robinson's even more of a household name. And when you, every movie picture that Josh puts up is just Kyrie Irving. And it just lists his name.
Well, he's the star. He is Uncle Drew in the movie.
Yes. You realize that he is not a bankable star. That people don't know who he is.
Fred, the Barbershop movies made $1 zillion.
Well, the Barbershop
Happy Death was, Day made $1 zillion.
Ice Cube was the star of that, who's a very bankable movie star.
He is.
And by the way, the underrated movie was the third Barbershop because it has Winnie the Bish from... New Girl in it.
I didn't mind Barbershop 1.
Barbershop was a bad movie.
Yeah, Barbershop was okay.
And
you know, it wasn't good every Friday after the first one.
Yes, that is true.
And Omar Epps well. Is not funny. Can't get rid of Chris Tucker was legitimately great in the first one.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But Ice Cube is a bankable movie star.
Okay.
So you can't
Maybe that's not a fair... then I would say, so was Tyler Perry.
Yeah, Tyler Perry had a integrated fan base, he had a fan base that was built in. Before he even made a movie, because he went around with those plays starring the guy from The Rock.
All I know is that I saw the trailer for it. They released it, and it wasn't awful. It was better than I thought it was going to be, but I thought it was going to be horrendous.
Well, they gave you 90 seconds. Let's see how they stretch this into 90 minutes.
I'm sure it was the best 90 seconds, but here is Kyrie Irving was on the Jimmy Kimmel show last night, and he talked about Uncle Drew and the birth of the concept.
Is that something that you always wanted to do, make a movie? Because I know this character, Uncle Drew, started in a series of Pepsi commercials.
Yes.
And then, how did it become a movie from that? Because I don't think this has happened since... Do you remember Ernest Goes to Camp?
No.
Well, first of all, I recommend it. Secondly, Ernest was... He did car commercials here in the Southland. Mm-hmm. And then somebody said, hey, you'd be great in a movie. And they were right. So how did this happen?
Well, it started in my hometown, New Jersey. It was a family-oriented Pepsi spot. Started with Pepsi Max, and then we got about four chapters, and then Lionsgate approached me, Jay Longino, the writer, Charles Stone, the director. Then it got going in a two-year process, and I guess you can say I have actor on my...
Yeah, you sure do. And Shaq is one of your co-stars in this movie. Is it intimidating to act alongside one of the greats? I mean, he was in Kazam. This is like... Is that something that you...
I took some notes from him.
So Kimmel's just busted on him the whole time.
Yes, because he realizes... that this is a horrible idea.
Do me a favor. In the other room, Nick, can you find the budget for this movie? Go to IMDb. I bet there's no way this movie costs more than $12 million to make.
Good, and they'll make 12.5.
Yeah,
and then,
they'll make money.
Again, this is money that could have been earmarked for something that would actually succeed.
Maybe.
Like, making making $3 million to a studio is nothing.
It's still $3 million.
No, are you crazy? Release something that's going to make money. This takes, you know, studios have a certain amount of movies they can release every year.
Sure, and not all of them make money. A lot of them lose a lot of money. So if you get away, it turns out they're in the black, then you're okay.
No, you're not. No, you're not. This is going to be an unmitigated disaster. No one is going to see this. It's shameful that this was made.
I say it is going to have a $7 million opening weekend.
And you say Black Panther's going to be $20 million, and this...
No. I said Black Panther could make $200 million.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. $7 million. Great.
Yeah. I think it's going to have a $7 million weekend, and $12 million budget. No, it'll be top five. It'll be a top five movie.
When's it coming out?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's like middle of summer.
Yeah,
it's going up against the big heavy hitters.
There's no way. it's going to be an unmitigated disaster. Are you going to see it?
No, not in the theater, no.
No.
No, I don't know if I'll see it. You know what? It's one of those things that if it was on television, I might watch.
Well, that's high praise.
I sit around
watching Will and Grace reruns all day.
See, I don't. Unless it's Shawshank or it's Snow Country for Old Men, I usually don't end up watching any movie that's on TV.
All right. So what are we doing?
But here? Okay, so in honor of Kyrie Irving taking his first shot at being an actor, there have been many before him who have tried to do such, and the results have been somewhat mixed. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play you a athlete trying his hand at acting, and I want you to tell me which athlete is gracing our screens here, okay? So let's start with this one. Here's one that, Fred, this is right up your alley, and I believe you'll probably get instantly right away. Let's start with right here. How about this one?
Santa's workshop.
Who's that?
Rudolph?
I may not have reindeers, but I do have the best elves in the business.
Offense gets the glory,
but defense wins the game.
Okay, you gotta know that. It's two people who can hardly speak in the same movie together. And the name... Oh, come on! In the name of the movie...
Offense wins the glory and defense wins the game.
And the name of the movie is a play on the sport that this guy plays. The first dude you heard speaking was a D-list action star, and he teamed up with this athlete.
Was Van Damme one of the guys?
Oh, yeah.
Double.
Oh, Rodman.
Rodman. Double. What is it?
Dennis Rodman and Double Team.
Thank you.
Oh, he was the absolute worst. The only thing worse than that one, do you remember when he made the movie Simon Says, S-E-Z, with a young Dane Cook?
No.
Oh, that sounds like a magical combination.
Oh, just watch the trailer.
Oh.
This was like 91, and Ace Ventura had like just been a hit. Dane Cook wanted to be Jim Carrey so freaking bad in this movie. He was the comic relief. And just so you understand, Rodman had to carry the film. Rodman can't speak, much less act.
Now, Rodman's a very troubled soul.
Oh, without a doubt.
When they had to call John Daly, they had to call Daly over to the palace because Rodman had broken in and was crying, shooting free throws. Right.
Chuck Daly.
Yes. This is my all-time favorite athlete actor moment.
What do you want?
To come with you.
Be off.
Let me speak to Conan.
Oh, Will Chamberlain.
I said be off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will Chamberlain.
Those were Queen's gods. Why did they attack us? They were trying to hurt the girl. Thank you. Appreciate
they said that we have a really muscular guy. Let's get a really tall guy.
That's right.
And really throw everyone for a loop.
Intimidating guy.
Who can't speak whatsoever at all.
Like, at least Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Enter the Dragon, like, was a black belt. Like, he at least...
He was okay. Kareem was all right.
Right. I mean, he was good in Airplane, but at least he was like a black belt in Conan. They really, that's what they did, is they said,
you're tall,
they
you're
said,
big.
You're really tall. Yes. So let's pair him with Schwarzenegger, and then people are going to be marveling at how tall and muscular everyone is.
Is Conan the one with the Valkyrie and the
she's a Valkyrie.
Is that her? Is that the right one? That is the right one.
Yeah, with the really Valkyrie. Creepy voiceover guy. Fred, yeah. This one's for you.
There it is. A future Don Drysdale resident.
Okay, right. I got you.
Yeah. Gee, that's quite a shack.
Yeah.
Hey, I have to get some St. Bernards in case I get lost in there. It's all right. We supply a roadmap with every set of blueprints.
Well, okay.
You know, baseball.
Give it away. That is Don Drysdale, of course, on the Brady Bunch.
Sure.
Don Drysdale, one of the great feats in his life, being on both the Brady Bunch and Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. He was friends with Hugh Beaumont.
I had no idea.
On the show.
Okay.
Yes, he came over, Don Drysdale.
Right.
He was in L.A. and he was looking to break in, so he said, show me the first family sitcom.
If you want to know what Rob Gronkowski's future, what awaits him, take a listen, Rob.
Give me my glasses.
All right. You are great, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Chains. This is John Stone. Stone, this is Chains.
Can you get your ass out of my van? Chill out, man.
Bosworth?
What
was that? Right, Bosworth.
Tar together.
Which is not, this is not the worst movie.
Stone Cold?
Stone Cold's pretty funny.
What was his name? Jeff Chains?
Yeah, it was like, if it's possible, it was a worst Roadhouse. They were inspired by Roadhouse.
You're talking like Roadhouse was bad.
No, Roadhouse is good in that it's horrible. He pops in like a Night Ranger tape within 5 minutes of the movie starting.
Double douche.
You learn a lot of good philosophy in the movie, like pain don't hurt. We all know that. Sometimes you're a master in redneck kung fu and you can rip a guy's throat out.
He's a brawler that doesn't like to fight. You know, he's
nobody
the last
wins.
Thing he wants
nobody
to do.
Wins a fight.
Everyone Fred. Thought he'd be taller, Fred.
Yeah.
Don't you have any respect for that?
No. The idea that someone made a because I can't imagine Roadhouse made much money. And the idea that they ripped off Roadhouse and made like a far inferior Roadhouse. Is something else. All right, Todd, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey, what's up?
So I usually don't really side with Fred on stuff like this, but he is 100% right. I mean, outside of sports in general, no one really knows, or New England, no one knows Kyrie Irving.
That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
The only thing that he's known for outside of sports is being a flat earth believer and a vegan.
But sports is huge. Like,
he's a vegan?
He's a vegan?
He's a vegan, yeah.
I didn't know.
By the way, the best thing about him is that he has a...
life all the time. But the thing is with Shaq... Shaq is a platinum-selling rap artist. He has his own video game. He was in several movies. I mean, if people want to see it for him, maybe, I guess, but Fred is correct. No one's going to see this.
Well, and Shaquille O'Neal, yeah, his star is past. I mean, this is no, he's no longer a prime specimen. I mean, he's let himself really go.
If you had to guess about the budget for Roadhouse, what do you think it would be?
Oh, the budget?
Without looking.
$8 million.
12.
17.
Okay, well, it was close.
17, and it grossed $30 million.
Yeah, dude, it was a successful movie.
It was number two opening weekend at the box office.
That's what I know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was...
Opening weekend took in $6 million.
Shows what I know.
It wasn't Shaquille O'Neal.
What's up, Doc?
What happened to the Fushnikkins?
I don't think they existed before or after this. Tony Danza, I'm the boss. When it comes to money, I'm like Dick the Boss. Now who's the first pick me? Where is on it? Not a Christian Leitner.
What's up, Doc? Can we rock?
All right.
What's up, Doc?
One
can
of my
we
favorite
rock?
Things is when you asked Shaq when Milo was crying during that interview. You asked him if he'd ever talked to the Fushnikkins again. Like, no, man, we haven't talked to him.
Yeah. The Fushnikkins.
That's it.
Were they on that Judgment Night soundtrack?
No, they disappeared. That's the last thing I heard. No.
I got
they had like the Booyah Tribe is who you're
the
thinking
Booyah
of.
Tribe.
That Faith No More Booyah Tribe is probably the best song on that album, other than Helmet and House of Pain.
Okay. Who is doing this fantastic thing we're doing? What's Nick doing over there?
Oh, like, who's the sponsor?
Is it Amy Lawrence again? Everyone's hang on the edge of your seat because here comes all the information I need.
It's TNR, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
I think just tension in the locker room as far as if things are down,
we have to find a way to smile and go out and refocus on the game now versus kind of what's been going on. I think this year will be a little different. I'm going to approach things a little differently as far as, you know, if I'm not playing well or if we're losing and whatnot, I can do my best to try and find a way to get everybody back happy, smiling, excited, and going to play.
Well, we've reached a new low. Shaughnessy's not taking our call. Oh, he called the wrong number.
He called the wrong number. Okay. Right.
I was going to say.
Dan Shaughnessy, by the way, has been excellent this week. Like, say what you will about it. And the thing is that even people who don't like Dan Shaughnessy will like him this week because he's actually holding these people accountable down in Fort Myers for not making any sort of moves. And it's been fun. Like, as a matter of fact, this whole article today is about, hey, remember all that chaos in the locker room that they all said wasn't happening at the end of the season? Well, they all admitted that it was. So yeah. Here we are.
Okay. Dan Shaughnessy, hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic. I am 36 minutes away from getting out of here for a while. All right. Dan, first of all, how are there less reporters at spring training than usual?
I would say no.
Okay. Just because of Dan Roach's absence.
Yeah, Roachy, I know. I think he's the only one that's usually here who's not here.
Do you miss him? Like, I know that the players, that used to be the guy that they could find their happiness with when you've got, like, you and Buckley firing off, like, tough questions.
Dan would there be lob up a softball.
Yeah, right.
We could use a little bit of that sunshine down here now that you mentioned it. Maybe that is missing.
All right. Okay. Let's start with Dombrowski because there's a lot to cover with what's going on down there right now. What did you make of his comment that people are coming up to him at Dunkin' Donuts and telling him, "Hey, listen, Dave, don't change anything. We like the team exactly the way it is."
Well, I thought it was just amusing. He had a couple of beauties in there. That was one, and then the other one, when we talked about acquiring a player, he said, "Well, when you acquire one, you have to let go of one," and I said, well, yeah, I guess it reminds me of 2000 when they had to let go of Medre Cummings to make room for Manny Ramirez. it just was like kind of an ass-backwards logic and explanation. And, hey, they can make a case. You won 93 games, and you go back to war with that. But it's odd when you have a team that, you know, not people just didn't embrace the team, and the whole team is back, which doesn't mean they can't win 93 or more again. But it's just from a PR standpoint in a market where, you know, there was so much, you know, the other teams are kind of more popular now, and there's been some disgruntlement about this unit. Just kind of an odd PR strategy, if nothing else. But they do have a good core to win a lot of games. That's all true.
Well, we were discussing this earlier in the show, is that, you know, the end of the year, the attitude seemed to stem from everything that happened with David Price. I mean, it's almost like the locker room, from what we heard, took the personality of him, and even Dustin Pedroia you could throw in there as well. Do you think that Alex Cora is a strong enough manager to equalize things a little bit and maybe make this team a little more cohesive as a unit?
Well, it's a lot to ask. One thing we have gleaned in just being here 4 or 5 days is there doesn't seem to be any support for John Farrell. No one, you know, is really going to bat for him. It's almost like he just didn't affect him one way or the other. So you would hope that a new guy could maybe galvanize the fellas a little bit more, maybe let them have a little bit more fun. Maybe be not quite as sensitive or paying attention to the nonsense that we spew out every day. So, you know, I think those things are valid. I don't know that it'll take hold, but I think, you know, you got a fighting chance with that attitude. And I think people are, you know, rooting for Cora. I mean, he's a likable guy, and, you know, he touches a lot of the buttons that you look for. He's a young guy, he speaks Spanish. You know, he's an ex-player who played fairly recently. He was actually a teammate of Pedroia's here a few years ago. And I think those things are all in his favor. But it is effectively the only change that they've made from last year.
All right, who do you blame for, because Betts and Bogarts obviously came out. Who do you blame for, besides Farrell, for the toxicity in the clubhouse?
Well, I thought things, you know, there was clearly something wrong last year, the way they handled the Machado thing when, you know, they couldn't hit him when they were supposed to hit him, and then they threw at him days later, and everybody was pointing fingers about who did what, and they just handled it badly. That was a bad sign. I thought I will always think the Price Eckersley thing was a bad sign, that they were, you know, just sensitive millennials who just can't take
criticism, constructive criticism, no respect for who Dennis Eckersley is, and the notion that Price was allowed to get away with it by management and carry on as if he had done a good thing. It wasn't a good thing. We all make mistakes. That's fine, but it wasn't corrected or punished or acknowledged as a bad thing. And I think it just kind of created an attitude that, you know, this is how we are, and take it or leave it. And ultimately, when they flopped in October, people weren't that surprised. They were soft.
Why did Farrell just refuse to address that? It's bizarre. It would have been so easy just to, you know, give some, you know, garbage answer to it. Why would he not address that?
Yeah, well, I think because he believed in it a little bit himself. That's all the only thing I can come away with. I mean, you know, he was winning games, and he'd been here 5 years. He had a championship in his pocket. So what's so hard about just coming out and saying, you know, this isn't what we do here? It's almost as if he agreed that Eck had it coming. And that was, you know, again, it's just, I know people are tired of it, and I understand it, and, you know, we can move on from it. But I do think regarding last year, I thought it was a pivotal moment in their season, and the notion that Price emerged from that as some sort of leader was indicative that, if he's your leader, your group isn't going very far.
Well, let's talk about leadership in the clubhouse. We've all kind of assumed it was the de facto captain of the team would be Dustin Pedroia after David Ortiz left. I'm not sure really that's the case. I was very happy to see Mookie Betts yesterday kind of step forward in that leadership role. He is, after all, their best player.
Yeah, I thought that was good yesterday as well. I mean, both Betts and Bogarts, who, you know, they've been here, they get a little cachet, and, you know, kind of young veterans, but and they both really, without a lot of provocation or prodding, just kind of acknowledged some of the bad of last year and talked about having more fun and just maybe just going out and playing and not being as sensitive. There was a little bit of an us against the world thing last year, and that's, you know, sometimes that works for teams. It just doesn't seem necessary when you're playing sports. But they, I thought those guys were, you know, very professional and stand-up guys yesterday and seemed to have a good attitude about things. So we don't know the degree to which having a new manager or just, you know, cleaning out in the offseason, what those things are. But, yeah, I think that Betts, fans like him. He's fun to watch. He's a great player. Why not have him be a kind of an emerging leader?
All right, Dan Shaughnessy. So let's say that with Dombrowski saying they're not going to make any moves, but they haven't made any moves, and basically saying that fans are clamoring that that's what they want. I could listen to that clip 1,000 times, Dan. I honestly could. But is there any reason to believe that this method, and the one that he speaks of not making any moves, could actually work when you look at what happened with the Yankees, them getting Giancarlo Stanton? Like, is there anything that they can do this season that would make them a better team other than the fact that the younger guys are 1 year older? Chris Sale might be able to work on a way to last longer in the season and not completely peter out at the end of it. Is there any reason to believe that method would work?
You can make that case, absolutely. I mean, Porcello should have a better year. Price should win more than 6 games. He's not going to be hurt. I mean, you can go there and say that those things will happen, and that Pedroia is going to come off the knee thing and be strong, and that Bradley will have an improved year offensively, and you get a full year of Devers at third, and Benintendi's, you know, second full year. Sure, guys get better and have better years. So those things, they did. They have a good core, and they have good veteran pitchers, and if all those guys produce at peak level, they will win 93, 95 or more games. They just got to show they can do it in the postseason, and they just got to be ready for that when it comes around, which they have not been the last 2 years.
What do you believe? Are they screwed?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we see the flaws. We're up close with it, and, you know, we openly mock them, and it's easy to do. And but I think, you know, most it is legit that most cities would love to have this team playing for them. And it's, again, 93 wins is nothing to sneeze at. But they're in a position where they just, until they win in October, folks really don't want to see it, and they can't do that until October.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy, enjoy your roachless spring training. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Al. Take care.
Right, see you, Dan.
Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Patrice Bergeron, the Bruins, Toucher and Rich, and 98.5 The Sports Hub hosted the Pucks and Paddles Ping Pong Tournament at Royale in Boston. They raised $110,000, all to benefit Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Over the years, they've raised over $1 million.
We're really proud of that. You know, it's a big number, and, you know, everyone's working hard, the Boston Bruins Foundation and everyone involved in making this event possible, but also to raise the money. And you're right, you know, to go over $1 million over the past 10 years is pretty amazing.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. That is Dan Roach reporting on WBC television about Pucks and Paddles. Yesterday raised a lot of money for the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center.
And the Bruins seemed to enjoy it. They had a great time.
Yeah, they actually enjoyed this one, and they stuck around till the end, which told you all you needed to know about the difference in the two events. But their NHL security was there. Not Bruins security, not security at the Royale.
No.
Not someone who was hired by the station. NHL security was there. And you'll hear it here.
this was very odd.
Like it was insane. Like, dude, I'm the host of the thing. I'm one of the hosts of the thing. Like, you know, what am I gonna do? I'm with my 7-year-old daughter. What am I going to do?
There's a room, Fred, backstage that I was told by everyone, even including people from the Bruins, that all of the beer and water back there was for us and the Bruins. It was for all of us because you never want to take anyone else's beer. And so I made sure, and they're like, no, that's for everybody. And I was told on two different people. So I go back there to go grab a beer, and I went to go get one for John. And in the meantime, I open one up and I start talking to David Pastrnak. We're just kind of laughing and hitting off a little bit. And then all of a sudden this dude comes up. He's like the Monopoly guy without the top hat.
You didn't hit a full story. I was behind you by about 3 paces because I stopped to talk to someone on the way in.
Yeah.
That guy stopped me at the beginning of the hallway. You were by yourself when you went into that room.
Yeah.
Because he put his hand out like in front of my chest. Seriously. And I had no shot. I didn't even get close to that room.
So I told the guy, and I'm like, and I said, oh, you're NHL security. I understand. And that, like, he let his guard down a little bit, and he went and asked, I said, will you go ask Marchand to come out and tell him that someone from the sports hub wants to talk to him? And so he did, and then that allowed me in. But you'll hear, so I'm with Brad Marchand. So put this in your head. I'm standing there talking to Brad Marchand, and this is a very light conversation, and listen
it's
to
something
how
we do every year.
Yeah, listen to how, well, regardless, I'm with my 7-year-old daughter. Like, I'm obviously, the only danger that there's there is if I cared if my daughter heard swears. That's right. Basically the only, which I don't. So that's basically the only thing that could have happened. So here's me talking to Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand, we were at Pucks and Paddles. You've usually been pretty good about making people shave their heads and pressuring them. Is there a bit of you that's died inside now that it's gone beyond that?
Yeah, you know what? I think we got to blame a lot of the young guys. I think this is almost solely changed because Pastrnak wouldn't shave his head last year. We went really hard at him. And so I feel like I didn't do my job, and they changed the event because of it.
So have you blamed Pastrnak today?
I am right now. That's what I'm doing. He'll hear more about it.
Okay, so you're going to take a mic today.
I guess I don't have a choice. That's what I do here, right? That's what I'm here for. So, yeah, I guess so.
All right, so today I found out for the first time, because I quit Twitter because I hate everybody. but I found out today that you, like, clap back on people on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
So, say I go, like, hey, Martian, you're a goon, you suck, whatever. Come back at me. Do it. Don't worry about my daughter. Do it. She's heard worse.
All right. The first place they look for missing people is in your belly.
All right. So, yes. Okay. Continue.
That's about all I got right now.
Because everything else is A+. You can't do that. So, all right. So, we talked to Riley Nash today, and he was talking about how on the ice, it's way worse because, obviously, like, you can't think it out and things like that. Are there certain players that you like to, get on that particularly? Do you particularly like to get on?
Yeah, not so much anymore. I used to like to go after Plekanec. I didn't really like him a whole lot, but he's grown on me. I love him now, so...
What would you say to him?
Now?
No. In the time.
I can't even say it. There's so many choice words that I can't even go there. I'll get suspended just by saying it on the radio.
I'll bleep everything out, I swear to God. And you don't. And I'll even bleep out who it was.
I can't do it.
All right.
I can't give it away. You know, I still need that ammo. I can't give it away.
All right, so, all right. They're heading, are you aware of NHL security is here?
Yeah, they're all my best friends. I need them all the time.
You realize that this is, like, insane that they're here.
Oh, yeah, they're like my full-time bodyguards. But we're having so much fun.
All right, things have gotten very serious very quick.
All right. Yes. I don't even know where we are anymore.
All right, I guess they're telling me to move over and allow you to leave.
All right, so time to go. It's been fun. See you again sometime.
Like, it's sort of my event.
I was important to that event
as Brad Marchand.
Well, I mean, there's the room backstage was for all of us. It was for Bruins players and the hosts, like you, me, Michaela. Like I mean, that's kind of where like we all hang out there. They're like no, out. Like I, but,
it's really right. Kind of like it's like offensive. Like I have every, I am as, in this moment in time, right. I am just as important as Brad Marchand. Like, for the success of this event, I am just as important as Brad Marchand. Like, in fact, I have more to do tonight than Brad Marchand.
Sure.
So anyway, but, and they put their arms out, like, horizontally and just started pushing.
But even the Bruins were laughing at it. Like, even well, they
Marchand
thought it was
like, just laughing. He goes, yeah, he was being sarcastic, obviously. He's like, yeah, they're my favorite guys. I can't get enough. I love that they're my bodyguards.
Right. It was like they hired the dude from the, what's his name? Kenny Powers and all of his friends. Like, they're just taking things too seriously.
I don't know what the mandate is, but apparently they can't go anywhere without NHL security. And again, it's nothing from no one from the Royale. It's no one from the team.
No, everything was run like it was.
No, it was. And this Michaela girl was great, and yeah. She did all the heavy lifting. She talked the vast majority of the time.
It was set up the best so that you get the most interaction if you were a fan, and also you get the most entertainment. You don't have to stand around watching people get their head shaved, which you know was funny because sometimes they would talk and whatever, like and mess around with the crowd. But this was like pure entertainment.
Yeah. All right. What else, Rich? What else do we have?
All right. Well, yesterday the day before yesterday on Jimmy Kimmel, they had where did I put this thing right here? They had the great Charles Barkley was on there. And Charles Barkley, you know, once again, we both love him on television. I love a guy who just doesn't care anymore. And
he's Danny DeVito.
He is, right.
He just doesn't care.
He doesn't. So he told this story about the one time he actually played an entire game absolutely drunk.
I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad to have you. It's been so long.
You broke
long.
My spirits today, though.
Why did I break your spirits?
You know, I do no social media because I think people who do that are losers.
Right.
And I had to go upstairs and read the mean tweets.
Yeah, well, you have to, yeah. Is it true you almost played for the Lakers? You were almost
Lakers? I got traded to the Lakers. So I get a call from my agent one morning, and he says, I think we got a deal. You're going to the Lakers. So me and two of my boys, this is about 11:30 during the day.
And what year is this?
90, somewhere in the late 80s.
Okay.
And I was so excited. So me and my boys went out to celebrate. We started getting drunk in the middle of the day. I was so excited. My agent called me back about 3 hours later. He said, the Sixers pull out the deal. And we got a game that night. I don't remember anything about that game. First of all, I was so pissed, but I was so drunk, too. I have no idea what happened that game, and I was blasted. I'm not going to lie. We had a lunch. We were doing shots and everything.
Well, they went on to ask him, he goes, is that the only time you've ever been drunk when you played? And he goes, no. And then he had to backtrack and go, no, that's not right. That's the only time I've been blacked out drunk. Or I don't remember anything about it. He goes, I've been hungover, and yeah. I've played many a game before, but never absolutely blacked out drunk.
Charles Barkley chugged a bottle of Patron, and then that's the end of the story.
That was it.
I mean, that it puts him in one of the great drinkers of all time.
Mm-hmm. That it does.
The idea that if you can chug a bottle of Patron... I like to think of myself as a quality drinker. He is
you didn't touch that.
So are you kidding me? I could do a shot of Patron. But I've never drank hard liquor out of a bottle. That's one. And number, because that puts you in a hole. That's something next day you don't feel so great about.
Yeah, the last thing I drank out of a bottle that, you know, obviously wasn't a beer was Boone's Farm. And that was when I was in college.
That's not hard liquor.
No, it's not hard liquor. Dude, out of a bottle? No way. Oh, yes, I have. I have.
Did you do a Nikki Six like you were doing?
It was kind of a cool thing. Like when you were in the band, they would pass around the bottle of Jack Daniels and you would all like take swigs from it, which is not very sanitary.
I wonder how much that Van Halen, because you remember Michael Anthony had the Jack Daniels base.
Yeah. And they would drink it on stage and they would make fun of bands who would put like iced tea inside of their liquor bottles.
The Dean Martin.
And pretend they were drinking. Right. So they would call out other bands. So if that's the case, then you have to drink the real stuff.
If you're bored this weekend, I suggest one thing. YouTube Van Halen at the 83 US Festival. David Lee Roth is out of his mind drunk and won't shut up.
Okay.
Like, he will not shut up. Oh! Look at all the people here tonight! And then he talks for about 10 minutes. Just talks. Drunk as hell. All right, we will return. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way, which is always very exciting. And then I will bid you farewell for a week as I go on a boat with my parents, which is going to be the epitome of excitement.
During rubbish.
Now whip it into shape. Shape it up. Get it straight. Go forward. Move ahead. Tattoo detected. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good.
Cody to the max. Troy George.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and again, Scott Zolak making himself known in studio.
That just disappearing when it's time to come on.
Not showing up when it's time to come on.
Especially when you got Fred. He's antsy. He's looking at the clock.
Right, we're getting out of here at 10 regardless. Yeah. I control the mics. We're out of here at 10.
We will definitely do that. I don't care if he's mid-talking. We can just cut right out.
Yes, I've done that before.
Matter of fact, you can even cut it off at 9:59, and I will rock some Troy George on the way out the door.
All right, so 9:59. So in 3 minutes and 18 seconds.
You can do that.
I will.
Hang in there until then.
Bid you all farewell.
That's 2 minutes and 18 seconds. That'll be take us to 9:59.
Shows you where my math skills are.
And then Monday, none of us will be here. Tuesday, it will be me, Wallach, and the sports vulture.
Oh,
Adam Jones will be in. Hardy's coming.
No one else is taking vacation this week.
Nope.
Just a long weekend. I mean,
yeah.
I was supposed to take Tuesday off, but like my kids got sick, so I had to completely cancel everything, which stinks.
All right.
Thank God I'm through that, by the way.
Good strong finish here, Fred. Way to hang in there, pal.
Yeah. Real concerned.
That's like listening to radio host. Count down the minutes till he's leaving.
Well, I mean, listen, I think...
I'm out here 36 minutes, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Of all the people, don't talk like you don't feel that way, too.
Ass grab spring training update. Dan's lying. There's nobody down there covering them.
No, when they showed the pictures.
Oh yeah, there's nobody there.
It was him, Buckley, and another jabroni. That's all I saw.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe there's never anyone down there. What do I know? But if that's all, it's not very impressive. The amount of people that were out there. All right, what do you guys got going today?
Hey, it's kind of one of those freeform Fridays. You know, just like
so put
the thoughts out there. We never planned it. We always plan stuff,
right?
But we're not a segmented show. Like you guys do a lot of. You know, different stack segments. You got to plan it because of the sound and stuff and production. But I don't know. We're more of that. Hey, it's going to be a wave. It's like when you go out there and you sit on your paddleboard.
Yeah.
You're kind of just sitting there, you're waving.
Maybe when
you're
I go
waiting.
Yeah.
And you get the boogie board and like, you know, this one doesn't look good. You kind of let that wave go by.
I see.
Some ideas go out. They hit the trash can and that. And
then, all right. Maybe when I go to
we're talking
Disney
about
Island.
Oh, Disney Island's going to be fun, dude.
Then maybe
do the zip line. Do the zip line.
Zipline freaks me out a little bit. Maybe I'll do it.
That thing's like high.
I don't care.
You're not going to be freaked out. It's like a ride.
Did you get your old friend Troy Brown
today? He's awesome. He was awesome. I wish I could have been in to record some of that stuff with him.
Yeah.
He'll do it again.
Troy George.
We'll have him do it again. Why not? Maybe like 6 months. Maybe at the beginning of the football season, we'll have him do it again.
There you go.
I love that.
Training camp.
That's the best Photoshop ever.
Oh.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have a duet between you two.
Troy George in July when all the players come back.
Sure.